Coming up now here on KVOE, it's time for Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by longbinauto.com, live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. A good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps here with you. I wish I wasn't. Wish I was still up in Kansas City getting set for some semifinal action. But unfortunately, here we are. Tim Miller off for the weekend. He's got the day off. Dan Courtright in the penalty box. And Dylan, I know that you wish that you had a few more hours before your last broadcast of the year.
Yeah, it feels surreal, Blake. It really does. Last night, you know, a great opportunity for Emporia High, but Mace South threw a punch right away, and Emporia High really couldn't cover. You know, Emporia High shot one for its first 11 from the field in the first quarter, and we're still down five. You know, it was a five-point game at half. And then nobody could score early in that third quarter. And it just seemed like at that time in the third, Emporia High could not get it back to three.
No, they really couldn't. And you got to give a lot of credit to Mays South. And I thought from watching them play in the first round, I thought, you know, man, this team is really talented. So Dylan Sherwood with me. We will get you up to date on where everything is going to be today because we do have a lot of basketball. We've got Kansas State that will be on our air today. We've got KU that will be on our air today. We'll have two games for you. Both consolation games will be on Mix 104.9, and we'll have two LIBO championship games that will be on Country 101.7. So that's how it all lines up, obviously, for Emporia State. The season ending earlier this week in the MIAA tournament with a first-round loss, disappointing loss for the men that played so hard this year and played, you know, had to overcome so much as a unit with, I think Coach estimated at the end of the season, they lost 68 games worth of playing time from guys who are going to be in their top six rotation. 68.
That's a pretty impressive stat.
And what they did was go 19-12, and 11 of the 12 losses were single digits within the last minute. And probably half of those were like one possession in the last 30 seconds at some point.
Well,
so they were just a whisper away from still having, you know, a 25-win season.
Yeah, and I mean, Coach Doty has set the foundation here. And, you know, key pieces coming back next year.
A lot of departures.
Yeah, a lot of departures. Caden Evans is a key piece coming back.
For sure.
And I think you also mentioned that Cale McGee and P.J. Johnson coming back next year.
They'll be back, obviously. It's going to be hard to replace guys like Elijah Comathy.
Definitely.
Solomon Arebu is eligible to come back, but the idea was when they signed him, his idea was always that he was going to come in for 1 year and then go Division One. Now with the shoulder injury, you know, who knows how that's going to work. There's going to be changes just like there are. That's just part of the deal now in college basketball. But Owen Long not coming back. Peyton Roger Schmidt, another interesting case too. He's got a year of eligibility, but again, the plan was that he was going to try to go pro or go Division One after this year. Now, how does that change with his injury? Because he's got to come back. You know, he told me afterward he still wants to play basketball, and he did not. He definitely did not tell me, Blake, I don't want to play basketball at Emporia State. So, you know, it's not a guarantee he's coming back. Who knows? And he said, hey, I may say, you know what, to heck with it. I want to go and start getting into my career. I want to go to Michigan, start being a police officer so that I can transition to trying to get a job for Secret Service or the FBI. That's what he eventually wants to do. And that would be fantastic. Graduating, that's exactly what Coach Doty wants for his guys, to come in, get their degree, graduate, have a good experience, win some games. And Peyton Roger Schmidt absolutely got that done. Drew Tenniel is going to be gone. Atavian Butler, you know, there's going to be a lot to replace. And Coach said afterwards, hey, we're going to have to be active in the transfer portal. And I think that the women's team will have to be somewhat as well, with Queen Ulabo obviously departing. Now, you know, coming into the season, you didn't know for sure. You were planning on Elena Hartman being a big part of this team, and she would have been a big, huge help to this team. But now you know that you're not going to have that player. So they've already signed a nice freshman class, but he thinks, you know, we probably got to go get two or three in the transfer portal and have those conversations. Who's going to come back? Obviously, we certainly anticipate that Faith Paramore and Katie Harina will be a big part of next year's team. And there's a lot of other complimentary pieces to them. And calling them complimentary may not be fair, because, you know, Gracie Gilpin was only their number two scorer.
Yeah.
You know, the former Emporia High product. Mm-hmm. And you've got
former softball player, too.
Former softball player. We'll get to why that's relevant in a moment. And also, Stevie Stinchcomb had a great second half of the year. Shot the ball way better. I mean, she went from being, you know, one of the worst shooters on the team, and she ended up over 40%, one of the best shooters on the team. So she did a fantastic job in the second half. She had about half of her steals in the last about six games or seven games of the season. So I'm really excited about what she can do. And then Queen Ulabo, a one-year loaner, and boy, I think she was more emotional than she thought that she would be after the game. But she's going to come back as a GA, which is awesome.
That's great.
Coach Queen has a great ring to it. I can't wait to see Coach Queen.
I can't wait for you to say that.
I will. And Coach, yeah, Queen, I don't have enough good things to say about Queen Ulabo. She made such a great adjustment in her own game, developing her left hand in the last, you know, couple weeks of the season. It was huge in Kansas City as they played really well. So I think the future is very bright for the Lady Hornets. Coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking Emporia High School softball today as we get previewed for other spring sports around the area. Tommy McClure is in studio, the head softball coach for the Lady Spartans, and we'll get set with him and get wrapped up his first year with Emporia High, so a new era of Lady Spartan softball is beginning. And we will also have an interview with James Westling, recorded earlier this week, get you set for a Big 12 conference tournament that is, I don't know if I could say it's wide open, Dylan, because I think that Houston is going to be a favorite.
Yeah.
But Houston, it certainly does not feel like there's one team that's going to be, you know, I can't put my finger on one or two teams that's going to be like, oh, well, the winner's going to come from these three. It's either going to be Houston or it could be anybody at that point.
Yeah, today is big in the Big 12.
It sure is.
Today is big in the Big 12.
We got two really big games. You know, if you're one of those people who thinks that Kansas State still has a chance to get into onto the NCAA tournament bubble, I would say, and I need some of what you're having. But those people who believe that, and I don't fault you for being optimistic, but you got to win Iowa. You got to beat Iowa State. You have to win against Iowa State. I think that they have got to win the tournament. I think they have to win the Big 12 tournament in order to get in. Now, you know, can they play their way into the NIT with a win over Iowa State? Sure. I think that they'll have to win the Big 12 tournament, but they want to get some momentum for KU. You know, they beat Houston pretty bad in Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that the Cougars are going to have something for them today. We're going to find out how that works out. But KU, you know, first time when they beat Houston, maybe one of the better games that Kansas has played all year. I don't know if it's going to go that well today for Kansas down there in Houston. You'd like to see KU take some steps to maybe give you some belief that they can make a tournament run. I'm not sure that's going to be happening for the Jayhawks this year. So we'll have both those games. We will have the Opie boys in their consolation third place game. They're taking on Quinter. Michael Deeker will have the call on Mix 104.9. Of course, Emporia High will be in action on Mix 104.9, and a Lebo doubleheader on Country 101.7 for you today, beginning around 4 o'clock, playing for two state championships. And the Linden boys are trying to polish off a 26-0 season in Dodge City in 2A.
Wow. So, how about this? If they get the job done, they'll have gone undefeated in football with an 8-man Division I state championship.
Uh-huh.
And if they can polish this one off, it would be a perfect basketball season for Michael Massey's bunch.
Yeah.
You know, Caden Massey, Jalen Massey, you know, a lot of those guys that were on that football team play basketball. And you know, they had to transition to basketball real quick.
Sure.
And after winning that state football championship.
I would say that they transitioned pretty well.
And
so,
Tanner Heckel has been the biggest addition for Linden. He went over 1,500 points. I saw a tweet, I believe on Thursday, that he went over 1,500 points in his career.
Sure.
And he's going to Illinois to play football. You know, he's going to make some noise at the state track and field meet, too.
Yeah, I would certainly anticipate that. Obviously, we do not have our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week for this week. We'll be bringing them back here in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. We'll have an Emporia High one and an area athlete once we get the spring season started. And we do want to remind you, if you've got an athlete that had a great performance during the week, get a hold of us here, 342-1400, 620-342-1400. Call us between our business hours, 8 and 5, Monday through Friday, or you can email Dylan Sherwood, D@KVOE.com. Let's take our time out. We'll come back with Tommy McClure and talk some Lady Spartan softball. That's coming up next on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. And the fun is here right now. It's Chevy truck season, and that means you get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LTZ 4x4 when you trade in an eligible Chevy model. Or get a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 custom as low as $45,745 with eligible trade-in. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw that you make up to $500. Remember, let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event is right here, right now, at Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer, taxes and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. In the final home game of her collegiate career, the legend of Caitlin Clark grew even bigger last Sunday.
Just the record setter, going to be on a free throw. It is another chart topper for Caitlin Clark as she passes Pete Maravich as the all-time scoring leader, men or women, in NCAA history.
Rob Brooks on Learfield as Clark hit the historic free throw in front of a sold-out crowd. She finished with 35 points as 6th-ranked Iowa knocked off 2nd-ranked Ohio State. The biggest star in college sports now has more points than anyone in the history of NCAA basketball.
Just to be in the same realm of all these players that have been so successful, whether it's Pete or whether it's Kelsey Plum or Lynette Woodard, like all these people have just given so much to the game. So, you know, hopefully somebody comes after me and breaks my records and I can be there supporting them. And that's what makes the game of basketball so fun. But, yeah, it'll definitely hit me at some point.
A streak that had to end sooner or later, next on This Week in the NCAA.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or two savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
D1 softball history ended last Sunday when three-time defending champion Oklahoma lost to Louisiana 7-5 in extra innings. The Sooners had won 71 straight games dating back to February of last year. It was their first home loss since 2020. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBonAuto.com. We continue getting set for the spring Emporia High athletic season. Talked baseball last week. This week we are talking softball. First-year head coach is Tommy McClure, joining Emporia High after spending some time out in Liberal with the Redskins. Coach McClure, I appreciate your time. Thanks for so much for being on the show this morning.
Thank you, Annette, for having me on.
Well, normally at this time, this would be the time of the interview where I'd say, well, talk to us about last year's team, how you guys did. Obviously, that's going to be a little bit different for you. How much do you go back and think about, review, look at what happened last year as a high school coach coming in versus just, you know, starting from scratch and working with the girls yourself and figuring out what you think their strengths and weaknesses are?
You know, every year, you know, because this is technically my eighth year as a head coach, when I get done with the season, I start looking at what, you know, holes I need to fill for graduating seniors and stuff like that. And so, you know, that's kind of that base of what I need to do, my plan. And usually we go into summer, and that was how I attacked it, is we might start moving players over to different positions that during that summer to get those reps there. Change a little bit of the philosophy, add some things to their offensive weapon or their defensive, even pitching. We might add some, let them start using some of those pitches we haven't been able to use because they're still working on it. But, you know, when you go into starting in as a new team and that, which I've done a couple times, you try to lay down the foundation, you know, the groundwork, and that, and that's kind of what we're doing this year, is building that system and the foundation that hopefully will carry over into the future, and we'll start showing those successes from, you know, and this is an important season to start that.
What in your mind was the kind of the factors and the elements that led you to decide, you know what, I'm going to leave the place where I've kind of established and take on this new role and challenge at Emporia High? What were the factors that led you to make that decision to make the change?
You know, some of it was family wise that we had, you know, some, my son's health was kind of part of it, and this area here, you know, we're closer to some of the bigger hospitals, and for his sake, but at the same time, it was kind of time for him to make some of that change. And you know, on the eastern side, you know, when we were over in the western side of Kansas, I always preach to my players, you know, to be the best in the west, you have to beat the beast in the east, and that was kind of our that was kind of our motto. And we'd always, you know, over there, we'd always try, you know, for when I was scheduling games, I'd always try to get over here as much as I could because I knew during regional time that's what we're going to see.
Sure.
But now that I'm over here, you know, that's what we're looking for, is that, you know, I enjoy that tough competition and that. And, you know, Emporia's got some tough competition. You don't have to go out and try to track it down. You know, it's already in our conferences. So, you know, that was a big plus for me, you know, and it's in a hotbed area of softball.
Coach, can you talk about, you know, what you got back and starting with your seniors? And you're going to have Addie Kermer, but she is wrapping up that high school basketball career today.
She's necessarily busy.
She is necessarily busy. But talk about your other seniors that you have behind Addie Kermer.
You know, we have five seniors this year on the roster. You know, of course, Addie's, you know, we were hoping for a state championship and that.
Of course.
And I, you know, rooted for it the other, last weekend, you know, or I messaged her as like, you know, cause they were playing Great Bend. And I'm like, you know, if you could do whatever you can, beat that team. Okay. You'll have a special place.
They've had some success against,
you know,
Great Bend.
That's
lately.
A special place in my heart and some of my previous staff's heart is, you know, when they get those wins from Great Bend.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, we, you know, she's obviously not in there yet. We just got some of our, you know, Danica back from bowling and that. So, you know, we're still missing some of those elements of, you know, chemistry and seeing what they're, you know, where we could fit pieces at, you know. But, you know, Danica has come in and that, and she's, you know, she's working to get herself up to pace with some of our philosophies and where we're working at. And she brings some of that speed. She's on the left-hand side hitting. I might actually start working a little bit more with slapping with her just because she is a left-handed hitter and she's got a little bit of speed. And then, you know, Clara Williams has been working at catcher. She's looked pretty good for us so far and, you know, preseason. We've also had her bouncing back at first base with one of our juniors, Bailey Schlesinger. We call her Slushy.
Okay.
Yeah, it helps out a little bit for coach to sometimes. I get the names butchered.
Sure.
So she's and she's been working hard in that. And then, of course, the one of the other seniors that's coming in is, you know, my own daughter who's from Liberal, and she's a three-year varsity letterman. She played mostly outfield, but, you know, she's a utility-type player, and that's how I taught most of my girls, you know. The two older sisters were the same way. They played wherever you had to, and she's going to be that way this year for us, and she brings that. And it was key to have that there because she brings a lot of my elements and that, and she can show the players and that. And, you know, they've blended pretty well, so the leadership's there.
Tommy McClory is my guest. He is the head softball coach for the Emporia High Lady Spartans. I also normally ask about the newcomers, but they're all going to be new to you. How do you feel like that process is going, getting to know your new team and them getting to know Coach McClure and kind of what coach wants? And, you know, I don't know how different the system, you know, I'm new here as well, so I don't know how different your system is versus what was in place, but how do you feel like that combination has gone between you and meeting your team during this period, during the off season, and now that you're ready to start your regular season camp?
You know, the great thing is the players have been really receptive. And, you know, to have success, you got to have buy-in, and no matter what you do. And, you know, that's what I feel like most of the girls, I mean, they've been doing that. You know, and I throw like a lot of different things at them that I know they haven't done in the past. We focus, you know, our practices, you know, especially early on, we have a lot more individual work. And then we go into kind of combo group setting, and then we go into team. And then I try to make sure that we have some kind of hitting every day. I don't want to take that off the plate. So that way, you know, when we get into game, hopefully we're cooking right off the bat. So, you know, that's kind of one of those changes that a lot of them have. But, you know, it's important for me as a coach to understand and get to know my athletes on my team. You know, that way I can get a feel of pulse of how I can navigate them. Like, how can I push them to be the best that they are on the field? You know, because not every athlete you're going to be able to coach the same way. And then you also got to have, you know, a good feel of your team. Maybe some days we may have to take off a little bit, you know, because they're overworked. Or, you know, maybe this is a day that we got to push a little bit here. So just getting to know the team. And I think, honestly, this is probably the best coming in the season that I've quickly learned a lot of the girls. Oh, so
nice.
Looking at what you've seen thus far, what do you feel like? And obviously you can look and say in practice, oh, well, we're going to be really good at this, and then you go into a game like, oh, well, we were wrong about that. But if you had to guess right now, what do you feel like the team is maybe ahead of schedule on? What's an area that maybe you need to put in some of that extra time when you do have those practices?
You know, one good thing that when I came in here, and that we've got a lot of good athletic girls on the team, and that, you know, some quickness and speed is kind of in that area. You know, like, I've worked with a lot of the outfielders, you know, the last few weeks and that, and, you know, some of the arms that they've shown, the range and the communication. I feel like that's one big area that this team shows is the communication part. As far, like you said, as right now, we see that until we get into game situation. And that, but they communicate real well. They pick each other up. And, you know, that's a key piece for anybody, is to make sure that we're motivating each other, you know, no matter wins or losses, if you're down or whatever. If you shut down, then you tend to shut down the whole game. Mm. So I think that's a big positive of this team. They encourage each other, pick each other up, and, you know, they do the reps. I mean, I think we've ran into some time issues in practice, and that it's because they are actually doing the reps, and rather than, you know, they're quickly getting it done, and now we have 10 extra minutes here. I don't know why we have it.
So. Coach, next week you're going to be in a jamboree at Burlington on Friday. How beneficial is it to have a jamboree, knowing Keisha's starting to have jamborees for all the other sports and, you know, you get to see somebody other than yourself before you open the season on the 22nd with Ottawa?
I wish we had this last year, and that when I was in Liberal, because, you know, our first two games of the season was against Derby and Goddard Eisenhower. And, wow. You know, I mean, I would have loved to had a kind of a pregame warm-up before we got to those teams because we had a pretty good quality team. But when you first, you know, trying to fill some of those bugs out, you know, you go right up against a good team in that, and you don't get that result that you're looking for. So it is important to have this jamboree in that we can right now, you know, get a feel, especially being a new team, this is going to help out, get a feel of some of the players. We won't have every player there. A few of them are still going to be on vacation at that time. But then we get to look at other players and see what, you know, they can do for the team long-term as well. So, I mean, having a jamboree right before the season starts and then, you know, it's still a week before we actually play is beneficial for us.
How important is it going to be? And I'm talking with we're talking with Tommy McClure. He is the head softball coach for Emporia High. What's going to be your challenge in terms of blending in a basketball player, players playing other sports? You mentioned Addie Kermer. You mentioned a bowler as well. What's the challenge in blending them in into a spot where, you know, there's probably been a position player that's been taking those reps, and now there's going to be a competition for that spot? How much competition has there been at every spot and for the spots in the order, and how do you blend those players in that are now coming and joining your program for winter sports?
You know, the good thing is like – you know, most of those athletes, you know, like Addie, she's competing, and she is athletic, so she's bringing that in. So it's and most of the players obviously know what she can do. And, you know, in the past, you know, we've had some of those players and that, and, you know, every player kind of understands those players' roles, and they know that, you know, that's probably their spot. So, you know, you would like to get to the point where, you know, you are so competitive that, you know, even when you're out of the season, you know you got to kind of worry about your position.
Sure.
And that's, like I said, that's something, you know, when you build a foundation, hopefully down the line, that's where we get. But, you know, like I said, you know, it also we know that she's a senior coming in. So it's good to have some of these other players getting those reps in that position because, you know, when she graduates, that's a hole that's got to be filled like next year. So, and there's quite a bit of youth behind her, and those will get those reps to see.
Final question for you, Coach, as you look here at your first season, 2024 softball, what are your expectations for this Lady Spartan team? And, you know, some coaches will put a win total on it or a place they want to finish or how far they want to go. Doesn't have to be that, but you know, what's going to make you say at the end of the year when it's, let's see, last day of state on your sheets there, the 24th, what's going to make you say on, you know, hopefully you're still playing that weekend, but if you're not, what's going to make you say on the 25th or Memorial Day after you've reflected on the season, you know what, we got done what we needed to get done to set the foundation for what I want Lady Spartan softball to be moving forward?
You know, like going into this season, our motto is "This is the way." I'm kind of a Star Wars geek in that, so I've kind of made it on them to be that way. But that's kind of what my goal for this season is: whatever we lay down in front of these girls from here on, they know that this is the way things are going to be at Spartan softball. You know, the hard work that we have to put in. Why do we have to do this drill? Why do we have to go in? You know, because like the first week we had, you know, two-a-days, and you know, when these new players come in, the older players should be taking that responsibility, saying, hey, just this is how it is to be a Spartan softball player. So I do have, like, a win-loss number in my head, but, you know, I don't, you know, share that one out because, you know, you can say it and then you don't meet it, and that's what happens. My focus is if we're competitive and getting to the competitive. They should be working every day to be, you know, 1% better is what we kind of say. Every day you should be better. And as long as they're giving you the 100% and we're – looking, you know, we're improving. You know, my goal is to be better up at the top of the mountain that our team is at during that regional playoff time close to the end of the season rather than the beginning. If I see those growths and that, and I know that they're competitive and they're working as that foundation that what we're going to be for the future, then that's that's all I can ask for. I don't care. You know, you can't care what the record is. You know, I've had teams that were only won three games, but we won that one regional game. And that's, you know, what we wanted. Rather than, you know, sometimes that we have that big expectation and then we kind of falter. So that's all I can ask for him is giving me that 100%.
Yeah, 1%. That's a Coach Higgins line there from Emporia all State right. Football. Yeah. He would appreciate 1%. Once again, they've got a jamboree coming up, and that will be in Burlington. That is on the 15th. Season opener is against Ottawa at Peter Pan Park. That'll be on the 22nd. Peter Pan Park, 22nd. That's where they will play their home games. Looking at the schedule here, looks like they got about seven games on the home schedule. And it'll be Ottawa on Friday, the 22nd, and the Lady Titans of Wichita South on that Saturday. 4 o'clock for the first pitch against Ottawa. But again, they've got the Burlington Jamboree coming up on March 15th. Lady Spartan softball head coach Tommy McClure. Coach, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thank you for bringing me on.
We'll have you back, and we will be back in just a moment. Big 12 basketball tournament. We've got a preview for you, obviously a huge tournament coming up. James Wessling covering the Big 12 throughout the year. He previewed the tournament with me earlier this week, and that's next on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. And the fun is here right now. It's Chevy truck season, and that means you get $7,000 below MSRP on a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LTZ 4x4 when you trade in an eligible Chevy model. Or get a 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 custom as low as $45,745 with eligible trade-in. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get five free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw that you make up to $500. Remember, let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. Our annual March Savings Mania sales event is right here, right now, at Longmont Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us 24/7 at longmontauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive. All rebates assigned to dealer, taxes and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Obviously, it is into March Madness. The Big 12 men's basketball tournament getting set for next week. Obviously, the games today are going to play a role into how all of that is seeded. Earlier this week, I caught up with James Wessling, ESPN announcer, who's called a lot of these Big 12 games to get a Big 12 men's basketball tournament preview. Well, James, thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it. This has been kind of an atypical and unusual Big 12 basketball season. How has it looked for you, and how have you kind of gone about parsing what's happened in this Big 12 year, this one weird year with the new teams coming in, more new teams next year, and then a couple of longtime Big 12 teams departing after the year?
Yeah, it is. It is weird, and it's definitely different. You know, I think the thing that has been interesting to me is that, you know, most of the time with conference realignment and when schools depart and you know, non-Power 5 schools join a Power 5 league, that league, it takes them a couple of years before they get back to the level of competitiveness that they were at prior. You know, leagues essentially get worse for a couple years. But that hasn't been the case with the Big 12.
No.
BYU's a top 25 team. UCF has been shockingly competitive. Cincinnati's on the bubble. And obviously Houston running away with the conference at 26-3 overall and 13-3 in league. It's really rare that a league gets better. And the Big 12 was already the top basketball conference in the nation for many, many years, with KU and Baylor and Tech and all the success that the league has had. And it's only gotten better, which is hard to believe. That's probably the biggest thing that sticks out to me for this season.
Well, when you've watched this Houston team, what do you attribute their ability to be able to jump in? Because they had been nationally relevant before, a couple of really good, you know, Final Four teams with when they were with the American Conference, and obviously that's a much, much different league now than it was. But at the time when you had, you know, Cincinnati in there and Wichita State was really good for a couple of years, you know, that was a really, really strong league. What do you attribute their ability to jump in, and how much does it have to do with a head coach that's been around the league a couple of times?
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson is really underrated as a coach, and I think it'd be hard to not make him the National Coach of the Year with what he's done. One of my analysts, Mark Adams, who I had a lot of games with this season at ESPN, was an assistant for Kelvin Sampson at Washington State, and you know, he speaks very highly of him. He was not surprised by the success they've had immediately. And I think, you know, we all knew that they were going to be pretty good in the Big 12 because they were just smashing teams in the AAC. You know, they were beating teams by 20 and 30 points. But to join the Big 12 and be 13-3 in the league, you know, I already mentioned their overall record's 26-3. They're, in my opinion, they should be the number one overall seed. I know that Joe Lunardi still has Purdue at the top, but I would have Houston at the top. I think a lot of it has to do with, yes, coaching, but also they have better players than I think people realize. You know, L.J. Cryer is a transfer from Baylor. He was a 17 or 18 point per game guy before he got hurt last year. Jamal Shedd's been the starting point guard for three seasons, and I think is the best point guard in the league and maybe the country. And then Juwan Roberts is an NBA-type player. Francis was a top 50 recruit. You know, they have depth and they have talent that I think people maybe didn't give them credit for because of the level of competition they were playing at. And they've been successful in the NCAA tournament. You know, they've been to a Final Four. They've been to an Elite Eight under Kelvin Sampson. So really, you know, just the jump up with the success that they're having is maybe a little bit of a surprise, but really it shouldn't be. They are doing everything they did in the AAC and the NCAA tournament just at a higher level. You know, they're really good.
Kansas guy, James Wesley joining me. He's been in Kansas radio for a long time, currently calling a ton of games for ESPN on television. These are the big games, not on ESPN Plus. He's got games on the Plus, but I've been in Kansas radio for a long time. And I know with all your time in Salina, you did plenty of sports talk. So I'm going to put your sports talk hat on for a moment. How much do you think Kelvin Sampson not getting that respect is due to the previous violations he had for recruiting, for the text messages, and with everything else going on right now in social media and NIL? Boy, those text messages and how worked up we got over those. Doesn't that seem just so preposterous now in 2024 that that's what made him a bad guy, is he was texting recruits too much after Patino and Penn State, and that's what we were worried about was text messaging?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I kind of felt that way even at the time. You know, I think the NCAA wanted to make an example. And unfortunately, you know, he was the guy that kind of got caught, because you can't tell me that even back then he was the only coach in America.
No.
Texting recruits outside of recruiting windows. You know, but give credit to him and kind of his path to get back. And when he took the Houston job, you know, they were a program with a lot of pedigree and tradition, but they weren't very good at the time. And he's really, you talk about what Scott Drew did at Baylor in turning around that program. You know, that's obviously number one in terms of the greatest turnarounds in this recent era, maybe ever, in terms of that particular case. But I think Kelvin Sampson at Houston's, you know, in the conversation, especially if he does somehow win a national championship, which, you know, I'll tell you right now, I know that crazy things can happen in the NCAA tournament, but usually the best team wins, and I think Houston's the best team in the country. They would be my pick as of today to win the whole thing.
Wow.
I think they're the best team in the best league. I just really like this team, and I had them going really, really far. In fact, I may have had them winning the whole thing last year. And that obviously wasn't the case. I may have just been a year behind. So it's impressive, and I think he is in a spot now where I don't know what other job in America he would leave Houston for. You know, Houston's in a league now where they're getting a lot more financial support. They're in the best basketball conference in America. I mean, would he leave Houston to take the Texas job if it opened up? Would he leave Houston to go to a blue blood type program? I don't know that he would. I think he's pretty happy there, and I think he'll be there for a long time.
I mean, the thing is, you go to Texas, and I mean, Chaka Smart found this out. You know, being at VCU is not as big of a deal, obviously, as Texas, but when you're at VCU, you're the biggest deal on campus. And you're never going to be that in Austin as the basketball coach. It's just never going to happen. You're never going to be as big as volleyball or football at Texas. That's just never going to be the way it is.
Yeah, I think the only thing that he would leave for would be dollars. But again, he doesn't strike me as a guy. And I've met him. You know, I've seen Houston practice. I had Houston on my schedule, and he comes off as a guy that just loves basketball, and you know, loves his players. And I would have a hard time believing that he would make that jump. I think you're right. He's the biggest show in town in Houston. They sell out every game. They have a really nice arena, really new facilities, and they're getting players. That's the biggest thing, is his recruiting pool just opened up significantly with them joining the Big 12.
Yeah, and he's also winning, too, so he doesn't really need to do anything. He doesn't need to go anywhere else in order to do what he wants to do, which is compete for national championships. James Wessling is my guest. He is a play-by-play announcer for ESPN. Obviously, we got to get to the two Kansas schools who have had a little bit disappointing years in different ways. Kansas, obviously, been bitten a little bit by the injury bug, but a lot of inconsistency, especially on offense, where this team just goes through stretches where it just doesn't look like they have any idea what they are doing. And not having Kevin McCullough is obviously a big hurt to them. But what has been the things that stood out to you as you've watched Kansas play this year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when I look at this KU team is, you know, Bill Self in recent years really has gone away from using his bench. I mean, he has a really short rotation year in and year out. Even that Final Four team with Malik Newman and Azubuki that made a deep run, you know, they were only playing five guys. And last year's team, they were only really playing five guys. And the same for this year. You know, you've got four players that are playing over 33 minutes a game. They never come off the floor. And so when McCullough went down, you know, they just didn't have the dudes to fill that void. And I think the difference with this team and his other teams is, you know, when you're only playing five guys, there's not a lot of room for error. And I just think the five that are playing for KU aren't as strong as these recent teams that we've seen that have had these regular seasons with only four or five or six losses. You know, this team's 21-8. I can't remember the last time Bill Self had a team that was 9-7 in league and 21-8 this deep in the season. And the biggest thing is, you know, a lot of college basketball now comes down to how well, obviously, you guard, but also how well you shoot the three. KU's not a good three-point shooting team. They only make five per game. That's last in the Big 12. Mm. And in the past, you know, Bill Self has had these sharpshooters. You know, Furphy and McCullough. Furphy's a solid shooter percentage-wise, but he's a freshman and sometimes struggles to get his shot off. McCullough is not a natural three-point shooter. He's only 33% this season. So he's a scorer this year, but he's not a natural, you know, long-distance shooter. And so I think that's the biggest thing that is hurting KU. And with, you know, the addition of Hunter Dickinson, you knew that a lot of it was going to be around the rim in terms of their offense. They just don't have enough guys that can make, you know, quality shots from beyond the arc. 5.8 threes per game just isn't enough. So I think that's the biggest thing that stands out to me when I look at this KU team and the recent teams of past.
Obviously, the Wildcats have had a disappointing year in a different way. So much inconsistency. Boy, they get a team in overtime, you could pretty much put the win in the book because they're going to win. They've had huge wins against Kansas and several other ranked teams, but a lot of losses that just make you really scratch your head. And boy, the turnovers have been a massive problem for the Wildcats this year. Kansas State, what do you make of them in year two of the Jerome Tang era?
Yeah, well, the one parallel with KU and K-State is neither team shoots it very well from downtown. You know, K-State makes a lot more per game because they take so many. K-State's the worst three-point shooting team from a percentage standpoint in the conference. And then you add the fact that they don't have a lot of possessions because they turn the ball over. You know, they have 100 more turnovers on the season than their opponents. That is unheard of, especially this deep in the season. And you can chalk a lot of these kind of, like you said, head-scratching losses up to turning the ball over. And I think that K-State fans thought that it was going to get better as we got deeper into the season, and it hasn't. The Cincinnati game was a disaster. They had, what, 8 turnovers in the first, like, 5 minutes of the game.
It seemed like it.
You look at their primary ball handlers, and they all have a lot of turnovers. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Tyler Perry's not a natural point guard. He played the 2 at North Texas. Keese Glover and Dede Ames were supposed to split at the point guard position this season for K-State. I think that everybody talks about K-State losing Naquan Tomlin right before the year, but the Glover injury, I think, was more significant because he was supposed to be K-State's point guard. They don't have a floor general, and ultimately, that's what's going to keep them out of the NCAA tournament. They need a lot of help. I mean, they're not even in the conversation right now. They need to jump about 10 teams to get into the field. And even a win at KU, I don't think would be enough to get them in right now. So they need a lot of help. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that, like you said, they just keep giving the ball away.
Well, last question for you, James. You already made your pick for the national champion at Houston, so you stole that question. So I'll ask you, do you feel like there's another dark horse team that maybe a lot of people won't be on that you feel like will have a chance to maybe make a run? And if it's not going to be Houston, who might that be?
That's a great question. You know, I think a lot of people will have...
Purdue's going to be popular.
Purdue will be popular. UConn will be popular. I just don't think the teams at the top are all that strong. You know, I think we could have another tournament, maybe not as crazy as last year when you had those non-Power 5 schools in the Final Four and even the national championship. But it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, a 4 or a 5 seed, if it's not Houston, you know, win the whole thing. And then you have to look at, I think the interesting thing about Arizona and Purdue, which are the other 2 1 seeds that Lunardi has in his bracketology as ones, is if you remember Virginia, when they lost to UMBC as a 16 seed, first team to ever lose to a 16 seed as a 1, the next year they won the national championship.
Yeah.
You know, they were on a mission. And so Arizona and Purdue kind of fit that bill. Purdue lost to a 16 last year. Arizona lost to a 15. And here they are right back with a lot of those same guys that are going to be really hungry because of those first-round exits. So those are 2 teams that I think would be in the conversation. You know, I think somebody from the Big 12 that's, you know, a 4 or a 5 or a 6 seed will make a deep run. Just by law of averages, it's a deep conference. You're going to have 9 teams in. Somebody unexpected will have a deep Elite 8 or even maybe a Final Four run. So keep your eye on that. I don't know who it'll be, but somebody outside of Houston will have a deep tournament run.
And James talked earlier about how strong the Big 12 is. Yeah, Arizona's going to be in the Big 12 next year, so it's going to get even harder next year. James Westling, play-by-play, ESPN. James, thank you so much. Appreciate having you on for football and basketball. We'll do it again next year.
That sounds great. Thanks, Blake.
Well, and James was supposed to get a game this weekend. He was supposed to have the TCU game, but ESPN, so they hire these guys on these contracts.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, we're going to hire you. You're going to do this many games. And then they break them up. Okay, this many will be volleyball. You'll do basketball. You'll do, you know, women's basketball. They kind of break up basketball into men's and women's. And then, you know, he'll probably be doing some baseball and softball as well. Well, apparently they went over their limit over what his contract was for. And so that apparently turns into paperwork for the legal department. And the legal department said, well, we don't want to do that. So if you see people out there that are maybe not any good, because James is, I think, really good, if you see people doing games this weekend that are not good, that would be why. Because, yeah, even the worldwide leader can have monumental screw-ups just like every other business can have. So that's where we are. A final word from you, Dylan, as we get set for the end of the basketball season. Obviously, we've got three area teams playing for championships. Lebo trying to pull off a very rare double, which is very, very hard to do, but they're going to try to get it done today, and we're going to detail our coverage plans here in just a moment. Olpe playing in a third-place game, and the Emporia High girls playing on a third-place game, and you know, I've watched enough of these third-place games to know that sometimes it just depends on which team wants to be there. And that's the team that that typically wins the game. And sometimes neither team wants to be there. And, you know, the more you play, the longer you play. Those have been really the best games, in my opinion, when neither team kind of shows up and the first half is just kind of, you know, going through the motions. Both teams are disappointed. You know, it's so understandable. It's why they don't have third-place games at the NCAA tournament or the MIAA tournament. They don't have them. But once you get into that third quarter and a team makes a run and then the other team's competitive juices get flowing and you're like, okay, well, we don't want to go out like this. And I've seen several of those games turn into fantastic games down the stretch. And I don't know what kind of a mood that Andover's going to be in. I have a feeling that Coach Dorsey is going to get the Emporia High girls ready to go today.
I believe the same thing, too. This team cannot go out the way they are. You know, this is a team with 12 seniors. You know, their emphasis this season has been two at a time and a stop. It's going to be like that one more time. It's time to get the job done and get a win, send these seniors out on a very high note because they have not played good defensively in these first two games. You know, barely squeaking by Bishop Carroll. You know, that was a very fast-paced game. Last night, with May South, man, the Singate sisters.
They were good.
They were good.
And she, I think Ashley Singate was zero. She was the difference maker in
the game.
She's been the best player that I've seen.
I would agree with you there.
Now, with, you know, the Seals kid went out with an apparent knee injury.
Yeah.
And she went for 24 in the first round.
She had 24 against Aquinas.
And she really stretches the defense, so that's going to be big, I think, in that their matchup with the Lady Vikings, because they'll, I would think, collapse. I haven't seen somebody else from Mays South that can really stretch the floor and force people to get out and guard the three-point line for Mays South. So that'll be big in that championship game between Mays South and Seaman.
That should be a good game. Blake, when I was doing my final prep for the weekend, you know, Emporia High, last year, this team saw Andover in the state quarters, and they saw Seaman in the Glacier's Edge championship game. I'm like, how fun would it be for former Centennial League foes to go at it for a state championship? It's not the case, but here's what I think could happen. Emporia High trying to go out on a high note after Andover sent the Lady Spartans home in the quarterfinals last year.
Sure.
So, you know, Andover, you know, they got two Division I girls and Elena Shetler and Brooke Walker. Brooke Walker going to go play at Utah, going to be in the Big 12. Shetler going to be playing at Oral Roberts. But they got a handful inside with Aaliyah Green, 6'2 junior, transfer from Hutch. Outstanding volleyball player, double-digit rebounds yesterday against Seaman. I got the box scores here from yesterday, too. And yesterday, Green had 14 rebounds, and she was double digits in rebounds a half. Rebounding is going to be a key. But another thing for Andover, they have a freshman that went off on Thursday. But they held her to 9 points. Seaman held her to 9 yesterday. That's going to be a key factor. Can Emporia High, you know, being able to sleep in their own beds, Andover having to go home, come back, drive an hour to come back and play a game that they think might be meaningless. But for Emporia High, they're in their own beds. They're in their hometown. how can they come out, fast start, be rejuvenated, and try to go out on a high note?
Dylan, rest the voice. We'll talk to you in a couple hours.
Well, I hope the voice can come back a little bit more.
Well, it's not going to come back if you keep talking.
So yeah, I know, I know. But I appreciate you, being next to me the last two nights.
Sure, it's been fun. I think I'll be out there again. Yeah. So get some rest, and we'll see you over there at around 2 o'clock.
Sounds good.
All right, so here's how the schedule is going to line out for the rest of the day. We will have area basketball with Ulpi taking on Quinter. That'll be an 11:40 a.m. pregame on Mix 104.9 for the third place game in 1A Division 1 on Mix 104.9. At 1 o'clock, we'll have Kansas State basketball against Iowa State in the regular season finale. That'll be a noon pregame on Country 101.7. Immediately following our coverage of Ulpi and Quinter, we will have the Emporia High girls against Andover. That pregame will start, we're thinking, about 1:50. It may be 1:40. We'll see. But whenever Dylan is ready, whenever after the Ulpi-Quinter game with Michael Deeker wraps up, we'll get you to that. Obviously, we're not going to break away from Ulpi and Quinter if they go to quadruple overtime. You know, we're going to have that game in its entirety for you, and then we'll join a tip-off. So Emporia High and Andover at 2 o'clock on Mix 104.9. Kansas Jayhawk basketball on KVOE today, 1:30 for the pregame, and the tip-off at 3 o'clock on KVOE as the Jayhawks go to Houston. And then a doubleheader for a championship. The Lebo boys will be up first facing Cunningham for the 1A Division 2 boys state title, 3:40 for the pregame, and the tip-off at 4 on Country 101.7. And then we will have the 1A Division 2 girls state championship, Lebo and Hanover. That is a 6 o'clock tip, 6 o'clock pregame, 6:15 for the tip-off on Country 101.7. We'll also have, coming up for you tomorrow, the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Championship on our airwaves from Westwood One. That will be on Sunday for you. So that's how the rest of the weekend schedule will line up. March Madness certainly here. We'll have plenty more hoops for you on KVOE coming up over the next few weeks. We've got KU in the Big 12 tournament. We'll have Kansas State in the Big 12 tournament. And we'll also have several other selected games from around the country as we get you set for March Madness and our annual coverage of the NCAA tournament. Next week on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, we'll be joined one last time for this season by both Emporia High basketball coaches, Coach Dorsey, Coach Baldwin. Will wrap up this season for Emporia High basketball next week on the show. This is KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your Saturday.
96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia, AM 1400, KVOE Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Two National Guard soldiers and a Border Patrol agent were killed Friday when their helicopter crashed near the U.S.-Mexico border. ABC's Melissa Adan has details.
It started a rapid swirl, turning around in a circle.
A local farmer describing what he saw moments before the copter came crashing down into a field. According to the Joint Task Force North, the helicopter had been assigned to the Federal Southwest Border Support Mission and was conducting aviation operations when it crashed in the early afternoon.
The cause is under investigation. President Biden and former President Donald Trump both have campaign events today in Georgia. ABC Deputy Political Director Avery Harper says both are now competing for Nikki Haley's supporters.
Before Nikki Haley left the race, she actually talked about how her voters, her supporters, mainly moderates and independents, that they would be a vulnerability for former President Trump. It's possible that we could see some of those folks vote for Trump, but we also saw the Biden campaign make an explicit appeal to those voters to say that they have a political home with President Biden.
The Senate passed a $460 billion funding package to avert a government shutdown. There's still another group of bills that must pass before March 22nd. Wegovy is now for more than just weight loss. ABC's Morgan Norwood says health regulators are ready to add cardiovascular benefits to its label.
The FDA decision comes after a landmark clinical trial showing promising results when it comes to reducing the risk of non-fatal heart attack, non-fatal stroke, or heart-related death for adults with known heart disease who are overweight or obese. So people taking Wegovy, which has the same active ingredient in Ozempic, had 20% lower risk of major cardiac events compared to those taking the placebo.
You're listening to ABC News.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or two savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
The first aid shipment to Gaza sets sail from Cyprus as a coalition of countries back President Biden's plan for a temporary pier for ships to dock. White House Communications Director Ben LaBolt says